4 o'clock. It's just after four, I should say. Scott Reed filling in for Scott MacArthur here on the Rush News Talk 1010, along with your friend and mine, the incredible, the dynamic, the surprisingly athletic Rush Mainair. Folks, now it's time for Richard Krause to rule on the pop culture stories taking center stage in the court of public opinion.
Order in the entertainment court. Let's get judgy.
Court is now in session.
Richard Krause, what is our first case on the docket today?
In the first case, we talk about Todd Rundgren. He's a singer, a producer, a multi-instrumentalist. He's had hits. He has had a visionary attitude about using new technology for more than 50 years now of making records. He's produced the New York Dolls, Meatloaf, Hall & Oates, had hits of his own. But he just did an interview where he talks about how he's always trying to broaden his own influences and seeking out new music. And he consults his kids on what he should be listening to. And he says, though, it can be challenging. And this is what he says. It's very hard to find artists who are sincerely musical nowadays, who haven't simply leveraged their internet celebrity into a musical career, and the music is just mediocre. And so the question that I have for you is Todd Rundgren right when he says it's hard to find new and interesting music, or is he just one chug of Geritol away from yelling at kids to get off his lawn?
I worry that I'm just aging myself here, but yeah, I mean, most of these big name shows are lip synced, and I think he might be right in that the artistry might be lost. I mean, just play an instrument at least, right? Scott?
Hello, It's Me is a fantastic song. Love Todd Rundgren's music. He is a bit of a complicated figure, though. I think this is just old man cranky pants. I'm sorry, but like, if you love music, you're going to find something cool in every genre and every, sort of every stage of music. So I'm not with him. I think he's guilty of being an old crank.
I kind of agree with you, Scott, although I refuse to call Todd Rundgren out of touch. It just hurts me to my soul because I admire his music so much. His career is jam-packed with forward-thinking music, next-level use of technology, but, and here's the but, I disagree when he says it's very hard to find artists who are sincerely musical nowadays. The music made for TikTok may not be his taste, but it may not will come with the purest of intentions musically, but the music industry has never ever been a sanctuary for sincerity. Mr. Rundgren may not be hearing the new music he wants to hear, but with all due respect to him, and I have a lot of respect for him, the music on TikTok and other platforms like it isn't made for him. It's made for ears about 60 years younger than his. Pop music has a bullseye on the teen market, and he may not like the music, and I may not like the music, but the kids do, and that's who will decide if it has sincerity and if it speaks to them. Oldies like me and, you know, whoever else wants to label themselves that aren't supposed to get the music that their kids listen to. I remember being horrified when my father told me that he liked a Clash song that I was listening to, and it made me rethink my love of Joe Strummer and the Clash. That's my verdict.
Sanctuary for sincerity. All right. Judge Krause, what's our next case?
The next case has to do with movies. So there is a director named Christopher Landon, and he wants studios to stop gambling with filmmakers and their movies to try and prop up your fledgling streaming services. What he is concerned about is that a great many movies are now being released, what they call day and date, to theaters and to streaming services at the same time. So what that does is essentially make it much easier for people just to stay home, not buy the popcorn, not buy the sodas, not go to the theaters and watch the movies there. And Christopher Landon, who had a pretty good movie called Freaky with Vince Vaughn come out last year, says that his movie was destroyed by that because they just couldn't find an audience because it was much easier to stay home. So my question to you is, do you still go to the movie theaters to see new releases, or will you wait for streaming?
Good question.
Dynamite question. Richard, I'm going to give you my opinion on that first, but it's 410, and that means News Talk 1010's grand in your hand is your best chance this fall at winning 1,000 bucks. Your 410 grand in your hand keyword is streaming. Call us now at 416-872-1010. Caller 10 with the correct keyword, which is streaming, will win a Google Nest Mini and qualify for tomorrow's $1,000 draw with John Moore. With 1 in 4 odds of winning each day, it's your best chance at putting a grand in your hand.
So, do you still go to the movie theater to see new releases?
Yeah, you know, I'm fascinated by this topic, Richard. I am going to make the following. I don't know where this lands me in terms of the court here. I'm making the following choice going forward. Depending on the kind of movie, I will pick my screen. So if it's a big MCU action-based flick, if it's something that's super visual, Terrence Malick, that kind of thing, I think he may have passed away, I'm going to the movie theater. If it's a rom-com, if it's a quieter story, if it's the Tender Bar, I'm watching it at home.
Terrence Malick is still with us, by the way.
That's good to hear.
I love movie theater popcorn, but it hasn't really drawn me into the theaters these days. So I think streaming is where it's at, Judge.
Here's my thought on that. Given the choice, I will always watch a movie in the theater. I love the experience of sharing a story with a crowd of strangers. I love that I can go see a scary movie and get a great dopamine rush while being perfectly safe in the theater. I love the sound of laughter at a comedy and the sense of community that happens when everyone watches the same thing at the same time. I do think that experience is being tarnished by studios that release their movies to theaters on the same day or very shortly afterwards as they release them on their streaming services. Going to the movies should be a special event, but much of what makes going to the movies unique and special has been devalued by streamers so eager to lure new subscribers with movies that would be best seen in the theater. Why trudge down to the theater to see Lightyear, for instance, when it's just going to be on Disney Plus in a couple of weeks? The idea that box office dollars can be replaced by subscription alone is short-sighted and, I fear, will lead to the end of the movie theater experience. And that is my verdict.
Are you ever curious what's going on behind the scenes in Hollywood?
Turn your mic off if you're going to do that.
Good Lord, something went wrong there. Sorry about that, Richard. Do you ever listen? I'm going to break format here and ask you a question quickly. Do you listen to the podcast Our Town by Matthew Bologna?
I do not.
He is fascinated with this topic. This guy, it's all insider Hollywood stuff, and it's not like gossipy. It's like the business of Hollywood, and he talks tons about the choices that movie theater chains are making, the choices that the Netflixes and the Disney Pluses are making, even the Paramounts, how they're figuring all that stuff out. So, fascinating.
Mixmaster Mike was late on the gavel for you, Judge, just because he's looking for that 10th caller. We do have that 10th caller now. Scott Reed keeps his mic on while he's throwing things around.
I'm just
visiting. It's his final Friday. He likes to remind me, Judge, what is our last case?
The last case has to do with The Crown. So season 5 is coming back on Netflix on November 9th. We're now getting into the 90s, and these are events that didn't happen that long ago that still are, I think, fresh in the minds of a lot of viewers. But there's also some things that are happening here that have never been really discussed as fact. So there's a couple of storylines that King Charles plotted for his mother to abdicate, for example, or once suggested that his mother's parenting was so deficient that she might have deserved a jail sentence. These are allegations that are thrown out in season 9. Dame Judi Dench has written a letter and says that those are both cruelly unjust to the individuals and damaging to the institution that they represent. And she wants Netflix to put a warning on the show. It says, this isn't history. So my question to you is The Crown a historical document, or is it just pure entertainment?
It's not pure entertainment. It just isn't. I'm telling you, it isn't, because there are too many people that think that this is actually a historically accurate telling. And I think that they've got to make a bigger qualification up front saying that, you know what, we invented a bunch of this crap.
Yeah, I do not think that it is historical documentation. Judge, your verdict in 10 seconds?
Well, I believe that The Crown is essentially a tarted up soap opera with familiar names and faces inserted into the storyline. Dame Judi and I are on the same page. The Crown calls itself fictional drama, and I know it needs drama to exist, but we have to remember that in a world of disinformation where a lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is putting its shoes on, it is important to be clear in your intention, and that is my verdict.
Judge Krause, Richard Krause, the one and only host of Last Call with Richard Krause, The Richard Krause Show. It airs across the iHeartRadio network on Saturday nights. We are so grateful for you. Thank you, sir.